Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
That was a thrill. We never hear the intro because we haven't had it.
No. That is the mojo I needed today. Let me tell you, that is what I needed in my life.
It's Monday. Another Monday with you beautiful people. How's everyone doing?
I'm about to get my period.
So great.
Just wonderful over here. Gassy and bloated and tired.
Oh, great. Uh-huh. And that just another Monday.
Yeah.
Just another manic Monday. Easton's in the studio right now behind the gold mic that Mark has always sat at. And it just, there's something really comforting about seeing this, someone behind the gold mic.
It feels good. I had to come in here and do some work for another show. And it's nice to be back in here. I haven't been in here in weeks, months.
Yeah, I'm like, just looking at it makes me like salivate at the mouth.
That's intense. Mark, do you feel jealous?
I don't know if I'm jealous. I don't love being there because that's work. But I'm jealous that everyone's on a mic except me. I'm on my voice memo. That's a little jealousy.
Oh, right.
Why hasn't anyone gotten you a professional setup?
True. I've asked a few times, but I'm way, way down the list of priorities.
But like getting you a microphone doesn't seem that hard.
Well, apparently it is.
That's weird.
We'll work on it.
Something that we can all pitch in and get you a little mic from Amazon.
I know. I feel like the one that Becca's using isn't very high quality.
But it's a mic.
Right, right.
So last week we did the podcast, and so for like an hour to 2 hours or something, I stared at something in your tooth.
No, but not only did we do a full-on 2-hour podcast, we went upstairs, you looked at my new office, we like shot the shoot around, we like chit-chatted, so you're here for like a whole hour after that, so 3 hours total.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, I kept going to say, like, hey, there's something in your teeth. But then a conversation would start, and I'd be like, okay, I'll tell her when we're done. And there, for some reason, I just never got around to telling you.
So I had to find out that I had this giant thing in my tooth from Instagram. People were DMing me saying, I think you have something large in your stuck in your tooth. And I literally was like, I have been with Becca for the past 3 hours and she didn't say anything to me. And then I was reading all my DMs from that and people were like, that's such a 9 Enneagram thing to do. Like, not tell you about your...
It's so funny because I'm the person, I'll meet someone for the first time or something, and if they have something in their nose or in their teeth, I tell them. So I don't know why that day it just... Oh, I think I was on my period that day, feeling a little frisky. Didn't want to help his sister out.
It was so huge. It was like this giant chia seed. But the even more alarming part of that was that I have chia seeds in my breakfast, so my oatmeal, right? I had seen Red Star that day, too. So he must have seen this giant chia seed in my tooth, too.
Wow. So we're both just, we let you down. But the thing that I think I felt the most confusion in is, so you recorded an Instagram story looking at yourself.
And I don't really like it. I record things all the time. I don't look at myself. I just record them and post it.
No, maybe we all look at ourselves and go like, that ain't it. Or, oh, is there something
not when
in
you're
my
like
tooth?
Recording like a long thing. Like I was like talking to people.
I'm sorry, because one time I went to this event and I had a big piece of like parsley or something in my teeth and no one told me, and I was just like chit-chatting around, going around the table saying hey to different people. Not one person told me. So I know the feeling and I apologize.
I like hate having things in my teeth. It's like one of my major what's the word? Not fears, but I'm always looking at my teeth. Nah. I like them to be clean and pristine.
Yeah, clean and pristine is what you want. So
clean,
I'm sorry,
and pristine, and
at least you didn't leave the house.
I was close to it. I was going to meet you for dinner that night.
We actually had so much fun. We went and had dinner and drinks with Caitlin Bristow because she just got in town for Dancing with the Stars. And it was such a fun, like, girls' night, and the dinner was amazing.
You know, nothing makes me happier than like that situation.
Girl time.
Yummy food, rosé. I think I had drank 4 days in a row. Like, my new thing in quarantine is just, like, drinking.
I think for a lot of people, that's true.
Yeah, like, I've never drank more in my entire life. And I think I had come off of all weekend. I had been drinking all weekend. And then that was a Monday. And I was like, I'm not going to drink today. And then show up to dinner, and there's a bottle of rosé. And I was like, here we go.
That rosé was so good. But it made me feel like I got home, and 95P was like, are you high? I was like, no, I drink rosé. And then Caitlin said that Jason thought she was high, too.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah, you were like, I'm ready to party
again.
Yeah,
I was like, I want to come back, meet you guys again.
Yeah, no.
No.
We were, it was fun.
Out good like time. Lights, 9:30.
So this week we had told y'all that we were going to do a questionnaire with, our significant others. So we chose, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but we chose the questions that our listeners asked, right?
Yes. These are all from listeners. And I know who sent each one of them. And so, why don't you guys, you can read each one, and then I'll tell you what your significant other responded with. Maybe you can predict what they were going to say, if you're nervous to hear what they're going to say.
Yeah. I have a bone to pick with one person. I need to go back through and find, hold on, stand by.
Great.
I have a bone to pick because I'm so scared to hear his response to this question.
Oh, that's the last one, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
We want to save that. Don't give it away. That was last for a reason.
That is so, no, we're not going to get to it. Okay, do you want
to
start?
Kelly Hudgens, I'm going to have a bone to pick with you.
Well, we'll have to get to that one today then, because we're going to do some this week and some next week.
Yeah, we're going to divvy them up because it just feels like too much. Like, I don't know if I can handle it all at once.
All right. Who's going to go first?
So, Mark, you're going to pick which ones, right?
No. So you're going to read the question, and then Mark's going to read the answer.
Yeah. Oh. We'll discuss the question for a moment.
Okay. Would you like me to go from bottom to top?
Since I'd like I just you to go from top to bottom, but we'll get that one in today.
Okay. Do you like how I don't know how things go? Like bottom to top?
Basic. Yeah, just basic rules of life.
Okay.
Start with Andy Beck Elliott.
Thank you. Andy Beck Elliott. What was your first impression of Tanya's Hinge profile? Did you know who she was before you met?
What was your first impression of Red Star's Hinge profile?
My first impression was that he had like what I look for in a girl, and the paragraph he wrote in that was like, so me, like it literally described me to a T. And so I was like very interested in that aspect. And then he made some joke about like dairy, and I don't eat dairy either. So I was like, oh, he's like me. And then he was really cute. And then I remember he had like one, like it wasn't a bathing suit photo.
Yeah, he was laying on a lounge chair.
Yeah, but it wasn't like douchey. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't douchey in my opinion. Like it wasn't like him on a beach. Like just being in a bathing suit. It was like him on a lounge chair.
It's like a candid shot.
Yeah. It looked like somebody else took it and he just put it on there, and I saw the bod and was like, meow.
Okay. Well, here is his first impression of your Hinge profile. I thought she was beautiful for sure, but mostly I was attracted to her positive energy that clearly came through even on her profile. I didn't know anything about her other than that she worked for iHeart until a few hours before our first date when I Googled her and saw all the videos about former boyfriends, etc. Made for interesting first date discussion, LOL.
It's true.
What did he see? You and the snowboarder?
No. My bio on Hinge just said iHeart Media, so it didn't really say like what I did. But then right before we were going to meet, I was like, texting him, and I was like, I'm kind of nervous. I'd like stranger danger. And so he sends me his Instagram, by the way, and which is private. So I was like, this does nothing for me. Thanks for the info. And then he starts sending me videos from the morning show. One of them was like Dr. W. And then the other one was, I can't remember what the second one was, but one of them was like the end of Dr. W. So it was like, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
And he goes, we have a lot to talk about tonight. And I was like, oh. But we didn't talk about it that much.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, Tanya went on a date with a snowboarder, and we brought our cameras along. So if you're bored, look that up, because that's fun.
Honestly, that was so fun because I've never been less interested in a man. Like, I was initially, like, wanted to go out with him. And then when I went out when I was on the date. I was like, this guy is not a match for me at all. So it's actually quite entertaining.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, yes. Very. He drove up on a, what are those things called?
Snowmobile?
No, like a Vespa or not a Vespa. What was that thing?
Like, is it a scooter?
Like a moped?
Like a bird, but before birds were like a thing.
Wow.
Oh, an electric scooter.
With like
scooter.
Big wheels, with two big wheels. I was like, oh. And he was wearing a hoodie.
Wait,
and
a Segway?
Yeah, a Segway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Segway? Yeah. I thought those were only like in big cities on tours.
Oh, no,
and
baby.
Mall cops.
Yeah.
No, baby. This guy rolled up in his Segway on our date.
That's funny. I'll have to watch that.
All right, Becca, what is your first question here?
My first question is, did you watch Becca on The Bachelor? If so, what did you think about her then?
Props to Angela Hopgood for that question.
This is so funny because we got in a huge... Well, should I let you read the response before I talk about it?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, 95P says, I didn't want her to know I had seen her on the show because I didn't want her to think I was some weirdo. But yes, definitely watched, and all I really remember is that she was extremely charming, likable to all, everyone on the show and the people watching really loved her, and she was, of course, beautiful.
So we got in.
I remember this, actually.
That was a very nice response. We did get into a fight because... 95P denied ever having seen my season.
Oh.
And then I found out that that was a lie. And I just felt like, why lie about that? Because to me, it wasn't like, I mean, it was on the, I'm one of so many that have been on The Bachelor, and everyone watches The Bachelor. So it was not like a, there was no reason. So then I started questioning, like, is there anything else being lied about?
Lying about. Yeah. See, I understand that a little bit because maybe, like, I don't know, you want to get to know somebody in your relationship, not like something that you see on television. So I don't know. I feel like it was a way of just being like, it's a clean slate. I want to get to know you for you.
But if I already knew, I don't know. The denial of seeing my season is where I was like, when I knew that other seasons had been watched.
Watch.
I was like, I just, it was at the beginning of our relationship. So I was just kind of like, okay, what a stupid thing to lie about.
What else is being lied about?
Yeah, are you lying about anything else that's dumb?
I could see that correlation, and I would probably do the same.
That was a nice response of redemption for today's answer.
Yeah.
All right, Tanya, give us the next question here.
Okay.
It's a quickie.
This one was from Savannah Bowerman. What was your opening line / your bio on Hinge? Meaning his?
Yes.
Does he remember?
He does, because you actually referred to it earlier today.
Oh, about the what he wants in a girl?
No, the dairy thing.
Oh, that was his opening line?
Well, he said he took it as your bio, I think. I don't know, but he responded with, dairy is for baby cows. And you were drawn to that somehow.
You are drawn to that somehow, God, Mark says.
That's so funny.
I was curious to see if he said who made the first move, because that's something that we still argue about. Because in my mind, he made the first move because he is the first one that wrote to me. Mm-hmm. In his mind, I made the first move because I liked his photo. But you have to mutually like somebody. So, like, you both have to.
Uh-huh. Wait, he's saying you swiping right is making the first move?
No, because you swipe right, you both match or whatever, and then you can go in and like photos.
Oh.
So I liked one of his photos. So he says that's the first move.
But he sent the first message.
Correct.
I think he made the first move.
I think so too.
Yeah, because nothing would have happened if y'all just kept liking each other's photos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really the great debate amongst.
I think it's pretty settled.
No, it's surprisingly, it's not.
I think we just settled it.
All right, Becca.
Okay. My next question is from Chelsea Simon, and it says, what do you think of 95 is the percentage Becca gave? Do you agree, and do you like that it has become your nickname for the show?
Oh, wait. I am so excited about this answer.
And here
is it a good answer, Mark? Is it a good answer?
Yeah, no. These answers are all very good.
Okay.
In fact, we talked about one was too good, and we're not going to read it. This one is, to be honest, I was a bit shocked, but extremely relieved to know that we are on the same page. I appreciate the number 95. I think it's pretty accurate. And yes, I'm very pleased with my nickname, Ha.
Yeah, I mean, I've discussed this on the podcast. We've had the conversation together. The 95 was on the spot. It was the response. But I do love that it is the nickname on the show. It's hilarious to me. That's my personal answer to the question.
The nickname is so good. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah.
Glad to know we're on the same page.
That's not surprising at all, honestly.
How does that make you feel?
I'm literally not shocked at all. Like, feel pretty confident about where 95P stands. I just wanted to
I'm surprised it's not 100P.
I'm sure it is, but, you know, I'm a little skittish, so.
Wow, 95 is skittish.
Well, no. I'm saying 100 would make me skittish.
You're still at the 95, and that is defined as skittish.
I feel like I established that I'm more at like 85. I think is where I said.
Yeah,
on the
I feel like Becca, like you did. You took it back after.
I'm good at taking things back. <It's> Okay, but that was crazy because you all cannot understand the pressure of answering that on the spot, knowing that the fight that could be caused based on this number. And on the spot, I went with the higher option to save myself. And then I found out that 85 would have been an acceptable answer too. So
I do have to say, I mean, but I give you a little bit of credit because when we did the podcast in Palm Springs and Red Star was literally just like sitting right there on the couch next to us and I'm getting questions like, is he the one? I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's different when they're staring into your soul.
Yeah, it is different because it's like they could always listen, which is whatever, then whatever. Yeah, but it's like, different when you actually see them listening.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, that brings us beautifully to this next question, Tanya.
Okay, stand by. Okay, this is Allison Elizabeth. Oh, when was the first time you actually heard that Tanya was in love with you?
Ooh.
I think I know the answer.
Do you want to predict it?
I think it was on the radio when we were in the car driving back from Santa Monica. I like fully remember it because we were listening to Kiss FM at like 7 p.m. Lo and behold, Tanya didn't know that like we play best of clips from the morning show on whatever he listens to. And they're playing like a 90-minute segment of us talking about me.
I bet it wasn't 90 minutes. It just felt like it.
No, not sorry. Yeah, it felt like 90 minutes because I heard it and I remember the conversation because it was when I realized I was in love with him, but I hadn't told him. And so I hear it and I just start like talking, just like I wasn't even probably made. I was like, because we just had a picnic. So I was like, should we go get dessert? Do you want to get dessert? Maybe we can find some dairy free ice cream. There's Van Leeuwen right here. It's really close. Like a map. Like I'm just like spitting out words to try and cover up like what's happening on the radio. But I think that he definitely heard it because we hear Sisney come in. I talked as long as I could. And then I hear Sisney come in with, I mean, I only met him once and I'm falling for him. I was like,
well, here is his response. The question is, when was the first time you actually heard Tanya was in love with you? And he says, randomly on the radio while driving in my car. And then again, when we were in the car together and she tried to talk over it. Slightly awkward. LOL.
That little didn't tell me.
That is so funny. Tanya's red right now.
Because from when I said it on the air till when I said it in real life was literally probably like a month and a half span in between.
Oh yeah, and like every morning I felt like you were asked again, like again and again on the podcast and the show, like, have you told him? Have you told him?
God.
That is so funny. He heard it by himself. And then he heard it again and you were trying to talk over it, but he had already heard it.
And he's such a little, like, he always says that he listens, but his commute to work, like his commute from his house to his office is so quick that he like hears maybe like 10 minutes of the show.
That's all he needs to hear.
Got to figure out what time that is.
So funny.
All right, Becca, question number three.
My next one is from Stephanie Howell. And the question is there anything you don't know about Becca that you haven't asked but you want to know? This is I'm interested to hear the answer to this.
Well, the answer is I'm pretty forward with everything, which forces Becca to communicate with me, LOL. So I feel like if there was something bothering me, I wouldn't hesitate.
It's true. I was gonna be surprised if there was anything that we don't know about each other already.
Really?
Yes.
Nothing. Like, not one thing.
You could not even understand how uncomfortable I've been the past 2 years of being forced to communicate my feelings in this relationship. It's so uncomfortable for me, but it's been so good. Like, I was thinking, I think I shared this with you. I look back on my relationship with Robert, and it's so interesting, the difference. And I think the significant difference is the challenge of me being forced to communicate my feelings,
yeah,
which I never really had because, you know, Robert didn't want to encroach on me or like scare me. So he just let me be. And in this relationship, it's like, no, we're figuring it out right now, which is great, but also just not my natural way of handling things.
See, that's how I am. Like, if I have a thought.
Oh, I know. I know.
I communicate it almost too much. I'm like, wow. The amount of communication being had over here.
No, but that's the thing is that I'm a under communicator and 95P is like an over communicator.
Yeah. See, I'm an over communicator and Red Star is a, I'd say, average communicator.
Okay.
Not under communicator, not over, but like.
He talks a lot, but just not about his feelings, you mean? Correct. His emotions. Got Correct. It.
All right, let's go to Tanya.
All right. So we are going to do Bryn Koger.
Mm-hmm.
Bryn Koger. Ooh, do you wish Tanya shared less about you on the podcast? Have you ever fought about something she has shared?
Do you know the answer?
I'd say he would probably say yes, less about him on the podcast. And then have you ever fought about something she has shared? I don't think so.
And here's the response. We've never fought about anything specifically, but publicity has been something we've discussed openly and honestly from the very beginning of our relationship. I'm a very private person, and on top of that, I have kids. So I wanted, and I still want, to be very intentional about what and how things are publicized. On the other hand, Tanya is very public, especially about her relationships, dating, etc., which I love and admire about her and her career. So it's a balance that we are trying to reach together. I also truly appreciate all of your respect for our privacy.
It's actually very accurate.
He's kind of a politician.
Well, here's the thing that's so interesting is like, he's very private and, it's not that he's private because, like, I don't understand that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why do you care? And it's not that I think he's private because he wants to, like, not be public. I think it's just, like, that's how his life has been. He hasn't really been, does that make sense? So it's almost just, like, it's not something that has come naturally to him or come to him in a sense. So it's, like, I've been trying to communicate to him that I try to, like, bigger picture it, and I'm like, it's not as scary as you think, you know what I mean? And like, especially when it comes to social media, I think a lot of people get nervous that people are going to be mean or like negative or reach out and just be, you know, mean. And I like try to always show him like the messages that I get and how positive and like encouraging and like beautiful this community is, and so it's been like this like fine dance of we have to just like overly communicate because he also respects what I do. And like, he loves it. You know what I mean? He came to the live show and like saw it in real life. And he has a lot of respect for like my passion and my drive and what comes naturally to me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think we overly communicate everything because it's like uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think we've been doing a good job.
All right. So
DVD on that?
I think what we'll do on this, because we're going to save half of them for next week, and we have an uneven.
Well, I have
number.
One more.
Yeah, one more for Becca, and then Tanya will do the one that you teased earlier.
Okay.
So this one's from Shelby Johnson, and the question is, how did you feel when Becca took back her I love you after she first said it? I can imagine that didn't feel great, but I came back within like a week and said it, so I am curious to hear the response.
Well, the response starts with a big laugh. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, that's good. That eases things.
Yeah.
I was very confused, to be honest, at first, but then I understood because she wanted to say it on her own terms instead of echoing me. Then I think she said it like a week after or something, so we weren't too far off. Ha, ha.
It's true. I said it and then panicked because I was like, oh my gosh, I've never said that before. And it was so soon into our relationship that I felt like there's no way I should be saying this so soon. Panicked. And then I think it literally was like a week or week and a half later.
That would be the worst week ever for me.
No, because, yeah, but I was very open about, like, I've never said this before. And
oh, that's right.
I think my feelings are there, but I want to make sure that I'm saying it at my own time and not just because I feel pressure because you said it. So I think it was understood where I was coming from. And it wasn't so much like, I don't see myself getting there anytime soon. It was just kind of like, I need to do this on my own terms without the pressure of saying it back.
Wait, yeah. Tanya, when did you say it to Red Star?
End of May.
And has he said it to you?
Yeah.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
I think this is like new information.
But it wasn't like, it's not really like a fun story because we were like kind of in a fight.
I love it. It's kind of like a rom-com, you know? You're in a fight and it's like, I love you, okay?
Yeah, it was like kind of like one of the, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's the first time you said that to me.
Yeah, and I was like, and this isn't how I wanted to hear it. You know what I mean? But yes, he did say it back. And the thing that I love about it, or I mean, I don't obviously whatever it happened the way that happened, but he's not one of those people, like I'm one of those people that say like whenever Becca and I hang up the phone, like I'm like, I love you. Like I just say it, like I spew it out like candy. I love saying it to people. He's very intentional. Like he doesn't say it every night now before we go to sleep or, you know what I mean? Like he'll say it like randomly. Mm. We're out to dinner and I'm just talking something and he'll just like say it. And it like means so much more.
Just like, I love you. And you're like, oh, you're the sweet.
Well, yeah, because it just comes out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but it's nice because
you know he's really meaning it when he says it.
Yeah, it's not just like he doesn't spew it out like candy.
Well, because you said to Becca, oh, that would have been the worst week ever for me. Well, you had months.
I did. I had months, but it's not like he said it and then took it back.
Oh, I see. Like, that's true.
That's so different. It was like a, and that those months were hard for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like even if I hadn't said it back and just been like, thank you, I think that would have been equally as unfortunate for 95P.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't not hard, but it was like, I think if he said it and then took it back, I would have been like,
yeah, that
that would have stung a little deeper.
I get the sting, honestly.
Yeah.
It was just like, I wanted to look out for myself and make sure I was, you know, doing it on my time and not feeling pressure to say it back just because it was said to me.
Right. And I think that's what I tried to do in my situation. Like, I was like, I don't want him to say it just because I said it. So I was just trying to play cool loosey-goosey when in reality I was like, what's happening here?
You're like, anything? Anything you want to tell me today?
No, but you know what's funny? You know when, like, you think it's coming? Like, we're, like, having some, like, some super romantic night, and
oh,
then
you
you're,
remember?
Like,
I, like, predicted that he was going to do it. Was that your birthday?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think I really set you up for failure.
No, but that wasn't even the only time. There were, like, other times where I was, like, oh, I think I just feel it. Like, and here's the thing, too. I felt it from him for a lot longer before. So I always felt it, but I was like, oh, I think it's coming. I think it's coming. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, maybe tomorrow.
Okay, so Tanya's going to read one more question.
She has a
and
beef.
Then...
She has a beef with Kelly Hudgens.
Yeah, I'm so scared to hear. Okay, so Kelly Hudgens, this is the question. Have you ever heard Tanya fart on FaceTime?
Should we leave this as a tease for next week?
I'm fine with that. You know I love my teases.
I need to know. I'm stressed.
I like this as a tease.
I can't see him tonight and not know.
How about this? What if we get Monica from Cheer On and then we do an email and then at the very end of the episode I reveal the answer?
Okay, that's fair. That's teasy enough for me. I just want y'all to know, so I have been a massive fan of Coach Monica since Cheer came out. Like, I just think she's amazing, and I was so excited to have her on the podcast. Tanya, this was the same day she had her pelvic floor appointment.
I know, really missed some big ones.
Yeah, I was busy, but I just love her, and my Wi-Fi went out right before we were supposed to start, and I was so stressed out because I thought I was not going to get the opportunity to talk to her because she had, like, interviews back-to-back, and she's just the best, so I hope y'all enjoy this interview. I was, like, fangirling. I was trying to ask questions from the scrubbing in group, too, so it was a little chaotic because I was so excited, but enjoy this interview. So we have a very exciting guest today. I have been a fan since like beginning of quarantine. We have Coach Monica here. And I just want to say, when I found out that you followed me on Instagram, it was like a highlight of my life.
And I followed you for a long time.
Well, I went to look, you know, when did Cheer come out? Was that in March?
January.
Oh, Jamie, okay, wow. Time doesn't exist anymore.
No. No.
When I went to look at your page and it said follow back, I gasped. I was like, you guys will not believe this. But I feel like life has just been an absolute whirlwind for you, I would imagine.
It has. It's been really crazy. I mean, had we not had the pandemic, I mean, that was the only thing that slowed us down, you know, and I'm used to fast pace. That's what we do basically year round. It's we go, go, go. We have 1,000 things we're doing. But added to that, you know, the show coming out and the success, we were just, you know, barely hanging on before the pandemic hit.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of shows that come out on Netflix and then they have a season, you don't really hear about them, and then they're gone. And yours couldn't have been more opposite. I mean, Cheer was every single person, and it kept rolling out like a new wave of people would be watching it all of a sudden. So it wasn't like it had one moment and then people stopped talking. People are still talking about it. And like you said, it's been out since January. It's just kind of, it has to be one of those things because you get asked to do a show on Netflix and you have no idea which direction it's going to go.
Oh, absolutely. And especially because it's about cheerleading. You know, we were just hoping that the cheerleading community would watch it. We really had no thought that a really large audience would watch it just because a lot of people have stereotypes about cheerleading. And I didn't think that they would even be interested in you know, checking it out. But it literally was, as soon as it came out that day, you know, my email, my DMs just exploded with people who had binged watched it. And we were just all kind of blown away.
Well, there was something about, I mean, there's something about you that I feel like everyone just, it's the same thing as me saying that you followed me. It was like this like approval of Coach Monica, you know? And it's just funny because you're so humble, you're so down to earth, you're a hard worker, you've been doing this for so long, and it's like the whole world kind of fell in love with you and this team. And it really was just such a special show, like how you connected with a lot of these kids who may not have the support at home, or
you know, were struggling with school. It was just, it was, there's just something about you that feels that like comforting, that safe feeling. You're like the Southern Belle, but in the best way.
Well, thank you. That's so sweet.
I was going to fangirl for a little bit longer, but I know we're short on time and I wanted to, we have a very loyal and active Facebook group for the podcast. And, I wanted to ask some of their questions because I had over 100 comments of people wanting to ask you questions on the post that I just posted. So, I wanted to get to some of those. This is actually one of mine. Who was the coolest, most shocking celebrity, like that you had a fangirl moment that when they fangirled over you?
You know, it's really strange because, like I said, since we weren't expecting this, really, anytime we saw anyone tweet about it, we were, all of us were kind of fangirling. You know, when Chrissy Teigen, you know, was stretching and did some throwback pictures of when she cheered, and Reese Witherspoon, just so many people that, you know, we've kind of, followed and watched forever. I was excited to, you know, talk to you. You know, obviously I think the whole world saw me go crazy over JJ Watt, but that was such a surprise. I didn't know he was on the Today Show. Many wonderful memories. This has been a crazy, crazy experience.
Has there been any like downsides to the excitement? Because I know, you know, what we all see is just like, it's fun and you're getting to do all this cool stuff. Has there been any moments where you're like, oh wow, I kind of miss when I wasn't known around the world?
Well, you know, I mean, yes, definitely. Things got weird. You know, we had to cover the windows at the gym that we practice in because people were videoing through the windows. We have people coming by the college pretty much every day, you know, looking for us or just taking pictures, which is pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, I've gotten some negative things, and you may have experienced this as well, being on a reality show. I was just surprised at how many people, not that it was a lot, but just some of the things people said that were, you know, so far from who I am, you know, the DMs that were negative, or, you know, I've had some weird things happen as far as people showing up that were a little, you know, just odd, that were a little scary. So, I mean, you know, and then just, you know, I think that's the biggest downside, just the comments, the negative stuff. And I really honestly try not to read them because I take everything very personal and, mm-hmm. you know, I want to do better. If someone's, you know, thinks a certain way, I'm like, oh no, I don't want anybody to think that I would ever do something like that, you know? So I've just tried to really just take the positive.
I know. I always tell, because, you know, it is weird when you have so much love flooding in and then there's those few negative ones. And for some reason, we always hold on to those instead of all the love. We like focus on the negative. And it's like, we feel this need to please these people who for some reason don't like us based on this like tiny, you know, show of like, however many hours they've seen of your life. It's like, I'm more than what you saw on this Netflix show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the way you interpreted some things, you know, I'm like, I don't know how you got that out of it, but okay.
Well, what's happening right now with the pandemic, and like, are y'all able to practice right now, or what's happening?
Well, you know, we had a pretty devastating end to our season because we were supposed to compete in April, and we were very, you know, we were only a few weeks away from competing. We had put a lot of time into practice and had done a ton of full outs. We were really, you know, we could have competed. We weren't, you know, obviously want to clean some stuff up, but we were doing really well. And everything happened so fast, like literally within 4 days, we went from having this amazing last spring break practice to the whole world kind of falling apart. And then within those 4 days, our season was canceled. And so it just hit us really fast. And we really didn't get to prepare to tell each other goodbye or anything. We just met again and turned in uniforms and just had basically a cry fest. I have not had practice with a team or anything since then. We were supposed to go to camp in July with the new team, and that got canceled. So they actually are moving in today. We have our first team meeting tomorrow, and our first practice next week.
Wow. So what are they requiring you to do certain things for the guidelines, or how does that work? Because I feel like there's a lot of contact in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously things will not look the same at all. Yeah. All of our sports got moved to the spring. So we're not even going to have any sports to cheer for right now. We're going to have them in two separate groups and then smaller groups within the two separate groups to start off. And okay. We'll have masks and stuff within those small groups, but we're just grateful that we can even come back. So yeah. I think, you know, it's a small sacrifice to, you know, practice this way for a bigger picture later on. So yeah. We're just grateful for being able to come back, period. So we're just going to push through these weird times of not really being able to all be together or not being able to come and practice like we normally would, but hopefully sooner than later we'll get there.
I know it's like everyone's just happy to have any sense of normalcy is like we're grateful for in Absolutely. Any capacity. What is your family like? I know you have kids and your husband. What have they thought about all of this?
I mean, they've been, excited. I mean, kind of the same as me, just kind of shocked at how it all went down and everything happened so fast. They were, every time a new opportunity would come up, we're all just kind of in disbelief, like, oh, wow, I'm flying to LA right now. Now I'm going to New York. Now I'm doing an interview with this person or that person. And so it's just all, not a world that we're used to, but we're all, just enjoying it. So
yeah, excited. I know. I remember even just the short time I was on The Bachelor, my family was like, this is the weirdest thing.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So one of the other questions that I liked was, would you go on Dancing with the Stars if you were approached?
That's a good question. I don't know. I got the privilege of going to their live show back in the spring before the pandemic hit. So I got to meet Val and a lot of the cast members, and they were so nice. And it would definitely be completely out of my comfort zone. But, I'm always up for any challenge.
All right. Good to know. ABC, did you hear that? Someone, Crystal Lynn, said if you could pick one person that you were most proud of from the show as far as how far they came during and after the show, who would it be?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, all of the kids, but, probably someone like Ladarius. He and I have, we have kind of a special bond because we're both so hard-headed and we just kind of do this at all times with each other, but... He has come so far, just growing and, really working on himself to kind of overcome some of those past demons that he had, mm-hmm. that he was kind of dealing with. And I've just really, really enjoyed watching the growth that he has had and really, letting go of that past and being able to, work towards his future. And, he graduated this year. He's just got so much going for him. He's the most fun person to be around.
I felt like every single person, I felt myself rooting for them. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times when you have a cast with so many different personalities, you kind of go, oh, I don't, I'm really rooting for this person. I don't really like this person, or I don't connect with them. And I felt like there was something about every person on the show where I felt like I wanted them to do their best, and I wanted them to succeed and do all their routines.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just really truly who they are. And that was one of the reasons I was open to doing the show, because I'm actually kind of a very private person. I like to kind of stand to the back and whatnot. So this was once again very much out of my comfort zone. But I just feel like the kids that come through this program are very special, just the work ethic that they have. The determination, the athleticism, it's something that a lot of people didn't realize that happens in cheerleading. And, I just felt like they're so special that it was worth, doing this documentary and showing the world.
Yeah. Was there supposed to be a season two and then things shut down, or is there going to be a season two?
You know, we're just enjoying season one and, you know, the ride that we're having with season one. So, yeah.
I feel like that is a non-answer answer, which gives me
anything about a season two.
So I have one more question, then I'll let you go because I know you have like interviews back to back. I guess after all of this happened, were you approached, because Navarro is a small school, it's such a small community, were you approached by bigger schools and like bigger programs to come and coach?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I had a lot of coaches reach out to me just from other programs, just with the whole, I mean, lots of different messages as far as just like, thank you for, you know, showing the world, you know, that what athletes the kids really are, or just really a lot of positive feedback from a bunch of different coaches in the industry that, you know, I was happy that, you know, that they acknowledged that and that they were happy with how it turned out, because it's a scary thing to do. As you well know, you don't know how the show's gonna come, you don't know how it's gonna turn out. You know, you're putting yourself out there and you're filming, but you know, at the end of the day, you don't know what the end result will be.
Yeah, I mean, you just hope for the best that the edit is in your favor.
Yeah, right.
Oh wait, I have one more question. There's a photo, I think it's Morgan, and she has it looks like a sports bra, and it says FIOFMU, and they want to know what that stands for.
Well, in the world of cheerleading, most teams have their own personal letters that stand for something, and it's really just a team. You have to be on the team, obviously, to know, but it's just an acronym that like brings the team together, like a unity type thing from years and years past. So just something, you know, it's just an acronym that makes us feel special and bring our teams together from all years.
I love it. So it's almost it's like a sorority code.
Correct. Like kind of like that. Yeah. And most cheer teams, you know, have some kind of letters that they call their own. And we were surprised. It was so funny. The things that come out, you know, like many people were focused on, I mean, we never mentioned that. It's just, it was on our clothes and stuff. And I mean, that was such a big topic of discussion on social media. Everybody wanted to know, people were selling clothes with it. We're like, hold on a second. That's kind of not like the whole world gets to wear that, you know?
Yeah, everyone's like thinking that they're part of the Navarro cheer team. It's so funny. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I could talk to you all day, but I know you're busy and I just love you. I think I'm just so happy for all your success and everyone on the show, and hopefully moving forward to maybe another season. I think you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. I think you're amazing too. Maybe when the pandemic's over, we can hang out.
Yes. When you're in LA next time, if it's allowed, we're going to do dinner or something.
Perfect. That sounds amazing. All right.
Thanks, Monica.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
It down.
I freaking love her. I'm serious. If she comes to LA, we're going to dinner together.
I appreciate you holding it down. I do also have to say that I have gone to my second pelvic floor appointment and that she saw a lot of progress in my pelvic floor my second time around. So all-star student over here. Yeah. And my pelvic floor is getting looser by the minute.
We love to hear it.
Thank you.
We're going to do an email and give some just great advice and wisdom. And then we're going to get the answer to Red Star hearing if he's ever heard Tanya fart over FaceTime, which if you listen to the podcast, you know, has happened. We just don't know if he heard.
All right. This is from Anonymous. She says, so my boyfriend and I have been dating for 7 years and recently we've been really struggling. The root of a lot of our problems is Snapchat. I use Snapchat no more than the next millennial to talk to my friends on a regular basis. My boyfriend has this thing where he looks at my Snapchat score and notices it goes up a fair amount each day and thinks I'm Snapchatting other boys. I've given him the option to look at my Snapchat and reassure him, but he doesn't want to be that boyfriend, so he doesn't. He thinks the fact that I don't just delete it is inconsiderate to his feelings, and I care more about the app than I do him. Obviously, this isn't true, but I solely use Snapchat to talk to my friends, and I do not Snapchat other guys. What do you think I should do?
This is so interesting. I don't use Snapchat at all. So, like, to me, I'm like, just delete it if it's a problem. But I know that would be, like, if Instagram was a problem. And
Right. I would, like, take Snapchat out of it, equate it to something that you use regularly.
Okay, so let's say it's Instagram.
Okay.
But if I'm not doing anything wrong, it's like there's just a trust. I mean, how do you convince someone that you're not doing anything? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't really understand why. I guess my thing is there another reason why he has a trust issue with this? If they've been together for 7 years.
That was my trigger here, is like, it's not the Snapchat. There's obviously something else to it. Like, I love you. Was it anonymous?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love you, anonymous, but I feel like we're not getting the full story. Because if it was just the Snapchat or whatever, I feel like he would want to, I don't know. I feel like we're missing something. I think what you need to ask him is like, what is it about me or this score or whatever? What, like, tangibly, what is it that is making you upset or like making you question anything about me? And then like, what can we actually do to ease that fear or anxiety or whatever? Like, tangibly, what can we tangibly do? And if he says like nothing, then, or I mean, I guess he's saying delete it.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, he has trust issues and there's a reason for it. Either he's been cheated on in the past. Anonymous has done something behind his back that we are not being made aware of. Or three, he just has deep seated insecurity issues. All of these or none of these, but some combination of these, I think, has got to be the issue here. So this is tough because it's his issue to get over. It's not your issue to guide him through it. You don't have to delete apps off your phone. You don't have to only speak to certain people, because if you do delete the Snapchat, there's going to be more stuff. He's not going to like you being friends with certain people because they're bad influencers or something like that. You can't give on this issue or he's going to take a mile. So he's got to get over it somehow, and he's got to figure that out or he's not the guy for you.
I was going to say, or what if, I mean, sometimes, you know, we project what we're doing onto other people. Like, what if he's doing something that's sneaky and he's assuming that something's going on with you because of your Snapchat score or whatever. But I agree. I think there might be like an underlying issue that y'all need to address or he needs to open up about. And that way y'all can solve that, because I agree, Mark. I think deleting Snapchat, he's going to find the insecurity or the distrust somewhere else.
Right.
Oof. 7 years, too. Oof. It's a long time.
I know. I'm confused. There's got to be some trust issues that he's had from either a past relationship or something.
Yeah, 7 years, you'd think he'd be in a better place with the whole situation.
Yeah. This sounds like a 7-month issue.
I was reading about the fallacy of, what's it called? The fallacy of spent time, I think it is. Has anybody ever
fallacy,
heard of that?
Fallacy, isn't that when, isn't that like penis?
It's phallic.
Phallic or a phallus, but no, that's not what I'm referring to.
Oh, I was like, what are you
it's
talking
It's the feeling about of I should continue in this relationship because I've spent 7 years in it. And that's flawed.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
flawed logic. It's flawed reasoning. That time is already spent. So don't. That time's gone. That time's not coming back no matter what. Are you happy now? Is this working for you now and in the future? And that's what you need to focus on. Same thing with money. Well, I should keep going with this, whatever it is, because I've spent this much money on it. Doesn't matter. That money's gone. Deal with it now. Deal with the situation at hand.
That's a very good point. I've had a lot of friends who have been in long relationships where it's kind of like, oh, the thought of starting over sounds horrible. And it's like, but you have a lot of life left.
I know
to
that.
Live.
Me too. That, like, when people are like, "Oh, I wasted this many years," I'm like, I don't think so. You wasted that.
No,
you
we've talked
yeah.
about that. How, like, I never view relationships as a waste of time, because like any even friendships, like, I never consider them a waste of my time, because I've grown or learned something from that person that I wouldn't have learned or grown not having them in my life at a certain point. So I always get upset, like when people are like, oh, you're wasting your time. It's like, if you're happy and you're enjoying each other, then be together. If you're not, then don't be together.
Yeah.
Like, it's really more simple than we make it.
Mm-hmm. It's called the fallacy of sunk cost, if anyone's interested in pursuing
Sometimes
it further.
Sometimes Becca just really preaches the gospel.
Oh, wow.
All right, here we go. Ready for his answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
So what do we know so far? We know that this did happen while you were on FaceTime. The question is whether or not he heard it.
Correct.
And so our dear friend, the listener, Kelly Hudgens, scrubber extraordinaire, decided to just get to the bottom of it and ask him.
I know, because here's the thing. So whatever his response is, okay, let's hear his response.
Okay. She said, have you ever heard Tanya fart on FaceTime? Red Star responded, LOL, no. And as far as I know, she never has. And then he put a winky face.
Cryptic. That is so cryptic. That winky face has, it could mean so many different things.
It could mean this is so many things.
Do we think he heard? What does the winky face mean?
Maybe the winky face is like, I know,
but I'm going to
be
pretend.
A gentleman.
That's how I read it.
I was about to say it's so anticlimactic until the winky face. Wow. I think he heard.
Or, yeah. So now I have to have a conversation about it.
Great.
That's why I want to take it up with Kelly Humphreys.
That's not her name.
What's her name? Kelly what?
Kelly Hudgens.
Kelly Hudgens. Because now it's going to be a conversation.
What are you going to say? how do you bring
I don't know. I haven't talked to him since he answered all
of it. Can't we just leave it be? You keep your dignity. That's what he's trying to do here.
Oh, okay. So just
keep things sexy.
I think allow him to let him keep your dignity.
Okay, fair enough. No conversation to be had.
Wow.
The fact that I haven't farted in front of him is so good.
I'm thrilled with the winky face, though. That's exactly that was a high that I needed.
So next week, we'll finish the questions, and Olivia Holt's going to be on the show.
Yay! It's going to be so fun. I can't wait to answer more questions. Y'all are very respectful about the questions that you asked and Mark the ones that you chose. It's like giving insight without being,
too invasive.
Yeah. We were talking about that, how nice it was, the questions. It was like very respectful.
Yeah. Like I felt as though sending him those questions, I was like, I think this might make him feel better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's about the whole thing.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week and have a great week. Can't wait to hear
the party happening on my street right now.
I just thought there was an earthquake. I just panicked. So
I live on a busy street and cars drive by blaring their music. So it's always fun.
My whole body shook. I felt like that might. Wow. Anyways, we will see you next week. We love you guys and have a great day.
Love you. Bye.